morning. Oh, there we go. Dad, I'm going to ask you to come right back up here with your wife. John and Leanna, would you come up here with your wife? I mean, that is your wife. President and cabinet, state governor and cabinet, 1, 2, 3, go. Let's pray. Go ahead. Stand to your feet. Extend your hands this way, would you please? If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, I will hear from heaven.
Yes.
And heal their land. Do you believe that this morning?
Yes.
Three of you do. Do you believe that this morning?
Yes.
A few more. Do you believe that this morning?
Yes.
And let's put our faith together and pray.
Amen.
Come on, let's go.
Father,
in Jesus' name.
Amen. And we're declaring today, thank you, Lord, that you are waking up the church in America. Amen. Opening our eyes, Father, to the truth, Father. This nation, Father God, was founded on you. Thank you, Lord, that you have the president in the office for such a time as this, Father God. We thank you that no weapon formed against him shall prosper in Jesus' name, Father God. We thank you for supernatural wisdom, Father God, dropping into his heart, dropping in his mind, Father God, to fight the foe who is trying to defeat America in today's day and age, Father. We thank you, Father God, that every trap of the enemy is going to be exposed in Jesus' name. We thank you for saving and preserving the soul of America in Jesus' name, we pray. Father, we thank you for the prosperity of America to bless the entire world in Jesus' name, Father God. We thank you for false religions that are trying to rise up in America, Father God, are going to be put down in Jesus' name. People coming to Jesus in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you for the most wicked, vile people in America coming to know you, modern day apostles and prophets in America, Father God, shaping America for the future, for the cabinet, Father, putting people around the president, Father God, that are born again, blood washed, spirit filled, tongue talking Christians, Father God, giving him counsel straight from the throne room of God. And for that, we thank you, God. We thank you. We humbly thank you, Father, for saving America, Father God, for such a time as this. Lord, we thank you that it is not too late, but it's a wake-up call. And Lord, we are awake as a body. Lord, we are awake. Our eyes are open. Our spirits are in tune. We're walking in the, I don't care your past, whatever God has called you to, it's for such a time as this. We thank you for that, God. In Jesus' name we pray.
Father, we just thank you for the church, God. We pray that the church of Jesus Christ would rise up, Father. Yes. We thank you, God, that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty in God to the pulling down of strongholds. Yes. Father, we thank you for every stronghold being pulled down over your church, God, that the eyes of the church and the pastors across this nation would be opened up. Father, we thank you, God, that we are the church, and we pray that we would continue to be awakened, Father, that our eyes would be opened, Father. And we just speak that over every church across Yavapai County, Father, and across Arizona, across this whole nation, Father. Wake up the pastors. Wake up the whole body of Christ, Father, that they would not mask up, Father, but they would begin to be open, Father. Their eyes would be open, and we just speak that in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
We thank you for it in Jesus' mighty name.
Glory.
Church, you agree that God gave us the power to bind and loose?
Yes.
Then together, let's agree to bind the powers of darkness in our state.
Yes.
And to loose wisdom and righteousness and justice.
Yes.
And Father God, we ask for that wisdom to come upon our leadership, for every evil work that the enemy wants to do will be bound, and we lay an axe to the root of that tree. In this state, in Jesus' name, we claim this state for the Lord. And the kingdom will come and be done his will on in this state, Jesus' name.
Hallelujah, precious Lord. Hallelujah. I want to pray for Pastor, but Pastor, is it okay if I pray for Jackie first? Okay, Lord God, we thank you for Jackie Shaw, Father God. We thank you for her, Father God. She is such a woman of God. She is such a woman of God. Precious Lord, you have done such a transformation in her life. It only you could do this miracle in someone's life, Father God. We just thank you, Lord, for the wisdom, the knowledge, the understanding, the discernment, Father God, the revelation that you have given to this woman, Father God. Even though Jackie chooses to stay in the background, she is such a powerful part of this ministry. Jackie Shaw, hun, just take care of yourself because we need you. We all need you so desperately. So thank you for everything that you do and everything that you are. And bless our pastor because he is so complimentary of Jackie. Hallelujah. It's to his praise that he acknowledges that his wife has, she's just such a woman of God, and she has such an influence in this church and such an influence in our lives. And we just thank you for her, Father God. We just thank you and praise you for her, Father God. Father, thank you for a pastor. Hallelujah. Thank you for imparting wisdom, knowledge, understanding, discernment, and revelation to our pastor. Thank you for the boldness that you have given him. Thank you for the courage that you have given him, Father God, to step out. Sometimes I know that pastor thinks that his time in Guatemala, he's not really sure if he and Jackie should have been there or not. But pastor, the Lord would say to you, he had at you exactly where he wanted you for such a time as this, because you had no idea that this nation would be where it is right now. But he's prepared you through that experience as such a time as this. Father God, thank you that Jackie and Lee are such great parents. Thank you for all that you have instilled in them to raise four beautiful Christian children. Sometimes I have to admit I'm a little envious when I see your family. Thank you, Lord. This couple, Jackie and Lee, this couple, Father God, they are powerhouses. They are powerhouses, Father God. And they are, Lord, you are so pleased with them. You are so pleased with them. And they're doing better than they think they are. They're doing better than they think they are. You are so pleased, Father God. You have raised them up in such a time as this. They are the pillars in this church. They are pillars in this church. They are pillars in our lives, Father God. I thank you that there will never, ever, ever be a divorce. Never, ever. They are our strength. And we thank you for that, Lord. We thank you and praise you, precious Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, Father. They have been so faithful in everything that you've given them, that you are now enlarging their influence. You are enlarging their influence, precious Jesus. It's not something that they've wanted. It's not something that they've asked for. But you are enlarging their influence, Father God. They've never been this way before. None of us have ever been this way before. Our thought that we would be in this situation, precious Jesus. But you are giving us room. You're giving us room to grow. And you're allowing us to have missteps, because when you grow, there will be missteps. But you are giving us room. You're giving us room to grow, Father God. And you're pleased with us. You're pleased with all of us, Father God. I know, precious Jesus, that you are coming against your Christians who are lukewarm. But nobody in this place is lukewarm, Father God. Nobody. We are on fire, and the heat is being turned up. And we are getting hotter and hotter and hotter. I was so encouraged to hear Chad speak this morning about the churches in California. Father, thank you for that. Thank you for that. Lord, we need that. That is such encouragement, especially in California. Father, you are also doing that with churches in China. In China, Father, China is starving. The Asian countries are starving. They're buying up all of our corn, Father God. And we're happy to give it to them, Father, but their people are starving. It's time for the church to rise up against communism, to rise up against socialism, Father God. Just raise the church in China, in North Korea, Father God. We just thank you and praise you for all that you're doing, Lord. Lord, we thank you for the part that the Masons had when they were in China, precious Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord God. You are moving in the world, Father God. You are moving in the world. But it is amazing how the world looks at the USA. They look at us. They look at us for leadership, for guidance, those who are with us, Father. And we just thank you. We just push back the enemy, push back the enemy, push back the enemy. The Lord hears our prayers, and the more that we pray, the more that the enemy will be pushed back. We can take back this nation. We will take back this nation, but the Lord needs us to pray now. He needs us to pray. 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, turn from their wicked ways, their lukewarmness, and... what's the last part? I will heal their land. Thank you so much. I will heal their land. The Lord says, I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sins, and I will heal their land. Hallelujah.
Glory. Amen.
Glory.
What'd she take up all the air?
I thought she was done.
Okay. Praise the Lord. That's awesome. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Thank you, man. And now I want you to stop right where you're at. Turn around and honor one another. Extend your hands towards one another and pray for one another right now. Come on. Let's quit having church and let's be the body. Pray for one another. Pray for one another. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you that my brother and my sister is strengthened with might in their inner man. I thank you for a revelation of the love of God. Strengthened. A revelation of the length, breadth, depth, and height of the love of God. Father God, I thank you today for your protection. I thank you today that you give your angels charge over my brother and over my sister. I thank you today that no plague shall come nigh their dwelling. I thank you today that they'll see disaster all around them and yet it won't touch them. They'll be inside a bubble looking and saying, behold the salvation of the Lord. I pray in Jesus' name for my brother and sister that the peace of God, which passes understanding, permeates them even now from the top of their head to the soles of their feet. I thank you right now in the name of Jesus that the steps of a righteous man and a woman are ordered of the Lord. I thank you today in Jesus' name that you bless our bread and water and you bless our bread and water and you take sickness from our midst. Father, I thank you today in Jesus' name that you are our provider for you. You are the one who provides every need according to your riches in glory by Christ Jesus. I thank you that you are healing. You are our peace. You are our all in all this morning. And Father, today we pray and we bless one another. Today we remember the words of the apostle that says, consider others higher than yourself. Esteem others greater than yourself. With the eye of faith and with the eye of the Spirit, bless, honor, affirm, strengthen in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you for these things that we pray according to your word. And they are absolutely bullseye prophecy over my brother and my sister over the months to come in Jesus' name. Thank you for blessing and encouraging and strengthening today, supernaturally by the Holy Spirit. Thank you for your anointing right now that breaks every yoke of fear. I want to remind you this morning, Paul told young Timothy, God has not given you the spirit of fear. Come on, are you here this morning? If you haven't heard it ever before, hear it this morning. He's not given you the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. Of power, of love, and of a sound mind. Power to step with a sharp, I mean a quick, firm step of confidence and authority. Power to speak the word of truth with a smile. Power today to lay hands on the sick. Power today to speak to the impossible. Power today to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. And love in which it is planted and grows. Love today. Love today that supersedes all else. Father, thank you for power, love, and a sound mind. Where Satan would like to defeat you is in your mind. Bring on the press. Bring on the pressure. Bring on the clouds. Bring on the doom. Bring on the gloom. But we reject it. We reject new norms. We walk in the norm of the Spirit, the supernatural, the norms of He that believeth in my name will cast out devils. He that believeth in my name will drink any deadly thing, and it will not harm him. He that believeth in my name will lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. These are the norms of the new covenant. These are the norms that come to us through the name of Jesus. These are the norms that come to the believer who stands with faith believing. These are the norms. No new norms. The old norms are good enough. For our nation, no new norms, the old norms, the Constitution, based on the written Word of God, a Constitution that secured freedoms that were only given by God Himself, a government that said we will not get in God's way, but we will provide the way for men to live free. Father God, today we thank you for the norms given from heaven, and we stand firmly in those. God has not given you the spirit of fear, but of power, shout it out, power of love and of a sound mind. In Jesus' name, now let's honor Him. Lift up your hands all over the room. I will call upon the Lord, Psalms 18:3. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. Come on, I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. Now forget about who's next to you. Lift up your hands and worship Him today. Jesus, we honor you. King Jesus, King of kings and Lord of lords, we honor you and we bless you today. You who are all in all. You are all in all. You who are our salvation today. We just climb up into you today. We just thank you that you are our protector, our covering, our provider. In your precious name, in your precious name we pray and we give you thanks. Come on, worship Him a little bit more. Go ahead, maybe pray another tongue. Some of you haven't prayed in other tongues in a while. Somebody says you shouldn't do that unless you got interpretation. There's interpretation all over the place this morning. God has not given you the spirit of fear. Come on, we worship you. When you know not how to pray, when you know not how to pray, He takes together with you in your weakness. He comes in tighter and closer when you struggle and prays through you with words that are inaudible. Praise through you with groanings which cannot be uttered. Father, we thank you today. As we saw yesterday, a storm that moved in suddenly out of nowhere. The storm brought lightning and noise. It brought damage, but it also brought rain. Father, today I thank you. A storm is approaching and it looks fearful and there's lightning and there will be damage, but it will bring rain. Come on, are you here today? It will bring rain. A parched land and a parched ground. So Father, today we thank you for rain from heaven. We thank you today. We'll not put a definition to it or how it will work. We've got to trust you for all of that. But today we thank you for the rain from above. In Jesus' name, and everybody shouted amen and amen. Let's be dismissed and go home. No, I'm kidding. Praise the Lord. Maybe it wouldn't be a bad idea. Praise the Lord. Do you believe that today? Amen. Do you see anybody in here that you don't know? Look around. Is there anybody in here that you don't know? Then get up out of your seat Let's not play church. We're in God's living room. Get up out of your seat. Go find that person. Introduce yourself and let's be friendly. And then I'm going to get my act together up here and finish what I started this morning. Awesome, awesome, awesome. Praise the Lord. Thought I left, didn't you? Well, I did kind of for a minute. Amen. How awesome. Has it ever mattered before? Herb was looking at his watch for me. I said, has it ever mattered before? No. No? That's right. Praise the Lord. Well, are you blessed this morning? I like that thought. There's going to be damage. Prepare. But with it comes rain. Take that for what it's worth. Open up your Bibles this morning to Acts chapter 4. I don't know if I have. If you're planning on any, of course, I've never preached a normal message ever in my life, but if you're planning on a whole lot of in-depth expositional or thematic preaching on certain favorite things, probably not going to be doing any of that until we're through to the end of this year. So for what it's worth, as we move through this, you pray for me, and I'll do the best I can. And I know that the Holy Spirit between my mouth and your ears can do miracles because I hear it all the time. Pastor Lee, what you said, that changed my life. And then they tell me what I said. I'm like, I never said that. Isn't it amazing how when your heart is open to receive and you humble yourself to receive, it's amazing what God can do between here and there. When there's humility and anointing, and an honoring of God, and sticking with the word makes it easy. So, at any rate, okay, Acts, let's just start here. I've got a bunch of thoughts. I have some notes that I've been trying to get to for a couple of months, but I'm really not worried about it anymore this morning than I have been any others. We'll see how far we get. But Acts chapter 4. Verse 26, a few of these things will kind of ring a bell for you as we move through. And the kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. Did you hear that? And the kings of the earth. Does he mean literal kings? Probably. Remember Daniel prayed?
Prayed one time and his prayer was answered instantly. Prayed another time and it was still answered instantly, but it was delayed by the Prince of Persia. Prince of Persia. Ephesians 6, Prince of the power of the air. I find that interesting. The kings of the earth stood up and the rulers gathered against the conservatives. The kings of the earth stood up and the rulers gathered against Christians. Yeah, but not really. Yeah. He hates you, but not as much as he hates who's in you. And to whom you belong. And the kings of the earth stood up and the rulers gathered against America. It's him they hate. It's him in you they hate. It's freedom in him. He whom the Son has set free, is actually free. In every sense of the word. Not in heaven, here. Freedom. And the kings of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered against the Lord and against his Christ. That is so fascinating. For of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod, Pontius Pilate, and the Gentiles, and the people of Israel were gathered together. For to do whatsoever thy hand, thy counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings. So if you want to know who's praying and what this is about, you can read from the beginning of the chapter. I think most of you are already aware. Notice prayer. This morning we prayed. Man, Leanna, that was powerful. Go and flow. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. By stretching forth thine hand to heal, that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken. For they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. Us Pentecostals have gotten off track. The initial sign is a religious term that has no founding in the word of God. The initial sign being tongues, if you're baptized in the Holy Ghost, is incorrect. It is. Tongues. You've heard me say this before, and I stole it from Brother John Osteen, Joel Osteen's daddy. He says, tongues comes with the Holy Ghost, just like tongues come with a new pair of tennis shoes. You got it whether you like it or not. But if there is an initial sign, and that's a misnomer, the real sign of the baptism of the Holy Ghost is, you shall be witnesses. Boldness. They spake the word of God with boldness. Praying in other tongues will increase boldness. Boldness. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither said any one of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own. But they had all things common or in common. And with great power, I think it's interesting that, you know, the book of Acts, we love to read the book of Acts and all of the manifestations of power of the Holy Ghost, but we forget that these things happen under the press. We met with Pat and Sally, several of us did at her house the other night, and she showed us a prophecy. And, you know, prophecies, I'll be honest with you, I don't want to say I take them with a grain of salt. You got to be careful with that kind of a mentality. There's a reason why Paul, by the Spirit of God, said, despise not prophecy. And prophets under the new covenant, I don't have time to teach on that right now, but are very different than the prophets of the old covenant, the way they function and the way that anointing works. But they still, by the Spirit of God, can cast a light on the way. They're all human, so that means they're prone to some error. But I kind of liken prophecy to brushing your hair. Hold a minute. Ever had really messy hair? You get out a brush and you comb it. And there's a few hairs that still are sticking out and aren't quite where they belong. But in general, you can see the direction that you want it to flow. A little hairspray and patting it down, and it's not perfect, but you can generally see the shape. And when I hear many voices saying similar things, I see the brush. Things are not perfect. There are prophecies that are given that are affected, influenced by some doctrine that's I wouldn't agree with. Of course, we may find out in the end that I'm wrong. Does it really matter as long as we have our eyes on Jesus? But generally, as I hear men of God speaking, I'm hearing a lot of people in unison speaking similar things, and it seems to resonate. I think that we're in for some rough times over the next couple of months. I think that most people are not prepared. I think that it would behoove all of us to have a little extra of everything and to be prepared for, I was in the first time yesterday in with the Oath Keepers. What a tremendous group. Yesterday was very, very sobering. I think I could, without reservation, recommend anybody who wanted to become a part of that. Part of what I saw was, for a group like that, was tremendous. But I would caution all of us who are part of that. I was shocked and overwhelmed by the tidal wave of negative information. It serves its purpose. Don't be a fool. Stick your finger in Acts. I'm going to come back there. Go to Proverbs. I think it's Proverbs 6. Proverbs 6:2 says, thou art snared with the words of thy mouth, thou art taken with the words of thy mouth. How many know the words of our mouth matter? Proverbs 18 tells us that on this tongue with this tongue we are able to speak death or life, and we will eat of the fruit of our mouths. We need to watch our mouths. You back up to Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20. We'll go back to 6 in a minute. It says, my son, attend to my words, incline thine ear to my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart. Guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. That which pertains, how we're going to live, what we're going to see, the fruit of our lives, all that is produced out of a heart knowledge manifest through our mouths. Guard your heart. Guard your meditation. Watch what's coming out of your mouth. Go back to 6. Thou art snared with the words of thy mouth. Thou art taken with the words of thy mouth. Do this now, my son, and deliver thyself. When thou art come into the hand of thy friend, go humble thyself and make sure thy friend. I think that's interesting. Did you catch that? That's King James. It's a little convoluted. Do this now, my son, and deliver thyself. When thou art come into the hand of thy friend, go and humble thyself and make sure thy friend. He's saying, take some time out. Keep those relations. I think that's very clear what he's saying. Keep that relationship. Know who your friend is. Keep that relationship sure. Give not sleep to thine eyes, nor slumber to thine eyelids. Deliver thyself as a roe from the hand of the hunter, as a bird from the hand of the flower. He says, go to the ant. Boy, he has some strong words here. Thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise. Which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer, and gathereth her food in the harvest. How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou rise out of thy slumber? Yet a little sleep and a little slumber, a little folding of hands, so shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. Let me know it's good to prepare. It's good to be listening with the ears of the Spirit, watching. Jesus said, watch and pray. We need to guard our hearts. We need to guard our mouths. We need to know preparation is wise. But our true source of provision is Him. When you've done all you can do, and it's wiped out for some unforeseen reason, will you be devastated? Or will your trust meter, needle, stay strong and centered because it never was based on my preparedness, but it was based on He is my provision. Scripture's clear. You ought to prepare. If there's a storm coming, and I believe there is, you ought to be prepared. You ought to know. We've talked a lot about that. I don't need to go into all that this morning. And if you haven't, it's never too late to start. And I believe the first place you prepare is in the Spirit. But I find it interesting. So now go back to Acts 4. Prayer is being lifted up under great persecution. The Spirit of God moves. It's amazing how it takes persecution to wake people up. It doesn't have to be that way. There are instances where God moved without it. But when nations become fat and overconfident and arrogant and begin to distance, it's not God sending disaster. There is consequence for sin. The devil kills his own, let alone you. That's why we got to stand in the Spirit. You love Jesus today? But I want you to notice, right here under great, we forget that all of the epistles were written by men of God under great persecution to churches who were under, or almost all, under great persecution. And I think that the writing is on the wall. We're not going to escape that entirely here. But I also believe rain is coming. Come on. I believe rain is coming. I had a bit of a mess in my yard, but We got rain. There was green this morning. Already, boom. Come on, people. Blessed is a man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. You can YouTube yourself to death. Walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight, his passion, his childlike, wow. Not wow, but wow. I heard it said once a long time ago, and I've never forgotten it. It's become cliche in certain circles. Stop telling God how big your problems are. And start telling your problems how big your God is. Okay, then we'll just move on. It's a shame that it has to be that way, but it just seems to be that way. The most powerful miracles that I personally have ever seen were in places where there was a lot of trouble and struggle. The pressure got enough that all of a sudden people didn't care what denomination you were from or whether you spoke in tongues or not. You are my brother, you are my sister. I've sat and bawled for a solid hour in churches inside Cuba as Baptists and assemblies of Pentecostals and different groups stood, and all the peripheral vanished as they loved Jesus and loved one another. Why do we wait till a man dies before we speak highly of him and affirm his greatness? Why not honor one another now as the dead in Christ and resurrected unto a new man? If it gets as rough as some say, it seems that the brush is sweeping the hair generally. There is some stuff sticking up and stuff that I'm not sure I agree with, and I just internally reject the doomsdayer stuff. But it's hard to ignore when enough great men and women of God and many of those in the know are saying, the part is here, the sweep is here. There's a little bit of, or a lot of humanness, but generally we can see the picture. Are we preparing? I am afraid that most aren't. Chad said it several times, and he expressed it this way. Pastor Lee, you preached a message a few years ago. You did a series on finances. And he's honored me several times. I mean, I'm never impressed with me. I don't want to hear my voice, and I don't want to see me on video. That's fine. I mean, we're doing this now. As long as I don't have to see it or hear it, I'm good. Most time when I walk out here, I'm like, Lord Jesus, why in the world did they come back? But Chad said, he called it one of the best he's ever heard on finances and stewardship, financial stewardship. But that's not the time for me to do that now, but your heart was kept coming out. And it's sat right here on my shoulder, and it's so true. As we head into this, if you're paying attention at all, win or lose an election for our side, there is more than great potential for all hell to break loose for a while. I'm so glad that I am here and not anywhere else. I wish I could reach out and grab both my parents by the neck of the neck and say, come here and stay here till this is over. And a few others. I'm glad I'm here and not elsewhere right now. But that aside, the tendency is for people to just hope it'll go away. And there are those that will prepare. This scripture that we just read in Proverbs 6. It says, sluggard, consider these that prepare. But you're going to have to guard your heart and your mouth, because there are those who won't until it's too late. And when it's too late, and you say, well, Pastor Lee, what are you trying to do? Scare us? No, but I'd rather, as I heard Chris say a couple of days ago, I'd rather spend X amount of dollars in over-preparing and then nothing happens and say, you know what, now I've got extra to be a blessing, than to not prepare at all and think, man, I wished I would have prepared. Right? What are we talking about? Let's just cut to the chase. Water, food, and other means of security. And I don't need to get into that now. Tonight we'll talk about that more. Jesse Ann, you'll be happy to hear that Chris has got a great idea in conjunction with your heart, asking for a church-wide expansion of our food pantry. That's come across our mind several times, maybe modifying some things over here to help that happen so we're prepared. Because what'll happen, there's going to be a lot of people that won't be prepared, and when they finally wake up, you won't be able to, and then fear and panic take place. And for those of us who are prepared, there is going to be a tendency to say, I told you so. Oh, I know that's... But we'll see when we get there. Here's the deal right now. Now, what Chad has said several times, there is a trust and faith in God that when times get tough, I've seen it. I've watched it in great missionaries. They became more benevolent. But most constricted through that innate human desire to survive and protect and guard my own, became all about holding back now and conserving and raking it to me and making sure me and mine. And we who are of the kingdom of God have got to realize that if we will trust Him. Now, this doesn't mean be a fool and don't prepare. It might mean that you trust God and you're saying, you know what? I'm going to go, I have the ability, and I'm going to go far beyond that, because if things do take place, I'm going to be in a position to at least feed. I don't know. I'll let the Lord deal. This will become more defined as we move forward. But one thing that I do want to speak to is right here to this little group and those that you talk to, the way of the kingdom is give and it shall be given unto you. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over. With good measure shall men give unto your bosom. God will do the strangest things through the strangest settings. Most of you in here have heard this before, but always marked in my memory was sitting at a church, a secret, a big one. The way they let that church grow up and look dead on the outside, and how they could hide vehicles scattered throughout a community and wall off. This is in Cuba back in the early 90s. And have a service that big and not get busted by the Cuban guard was amazing. And many of them did. But we were there in that setting, and it was kind of a spooky deal. They weren't spooky. I was. They weren't. They were just, we don't care. I mean, people crowded in there, young people, whatever. But I remember we were sitting at a table that was about, I don't know, probably from here to the booth, probably every bit that long, from here to where Sean, raise your hand, from here to there long. And it had benches all the way down and in chairs. And pastors and their wives that were leading this convention that they were holding underground, a Holy Spirit convention, underground in Cuba, were all seated on either side. And we were enjoying the produce that many had brought in, contraband, black market, fruits, vegetables, coffee, the whole deal, because they were still under heavy ration. But all of them had joined together, and the food, and man, Cubans, can they cook? Oh, my Lord, they can take nothing and make it taste like heaven. It's amazing. If you've never had arroz moro with tostones, I'm not going to translate. You look it up. Oh, man. And as we sat and we blessed the meal and ate in a country that's heavily oppressed, food is being rationed. I witnessed in that same couple of weeks lines of people that went two blocks and around, standing in line patiently talking and kids running around, and they had little stuff, and they're all lined up around, and we're coming by, and I said to the brother that was with me, Eliseo, I said, ¿Y esta gente a qué están esperando? ¿Qué están haciendo? What are they doing? What are they waiting for? He goes, oh, they're in line for their one rationed ice cream cone. They're one. It was during that time that this is going on. And as we sat, several of the brothers said, you know, Pastor Lee, we were here in this same place last year. We told almost no one about this meeting. And people who were praying, this is so far over me. People who were praying heard the Lord tell them to go to that building. They came from all over spontaneously with no announcements to show up where I was sitting the year before. And there was no provision for the multitude that showed up. No prep. Prepare, but that's not where your trust is at. They sat there, and as they begin to tell the story, all of them begin to cry. As the one main pastor took the story, and he said, we were sitting in here last year, and he said there was no food. They had hit hard and things were rationed to nothing, and all these people showed up to be there for several days spontaneously by the Spirit of God. And he said, we all sat. They said, well, we'll set the tables. So they set the tables with their little plastic plates and their utensils and their little Cuban coffee cups. And they said, let's give thanks. True story, John. It's so hard for us to, easy for us to disconnect because we weren't there. I'm telling you, I was sitting there. He said, we just lifted our hands, and he said, we began to worship God and thank him for the food. He said, I don't know, it really mattered to us whether we were expecting it to actually happen right then or not. It didn't matter. We were just being thankful. And there was, there were big double doors, heavy wooden, not like these doors. They said it rattled. He said our hearts froze. And he said when the door swung open, he said it was pouring rain. And there stood a huge Cuban guard, full beard, a picture of Castro. And he looked around, made a motion, disappeared back into the rain. A few seconds later, comes back in with other Cuban guard behind him. One's carrying a hog over his shoulder. The others come in with big bags of beans and grain and vegetables. True story. And then, by the time this pastor is sharing this, he's bawling. I'll never forget it. He's bawling. The rest that were there with him when it happened, they're bawling. For they were living it again. These guys walked in, laid all this down in silence, left, got in a Jeep, and left in the rain. He said, we sat there in stunned silence. I'm preaching to me this morning, not you. You get something out of this, it's your fault. I'm talking to Lee. Come on, lift your hands with me this morning. He must be our source. In the time of trouble, don't be lazy. Don't sit on your hands. Put your hands, get your hands busy, but keep your heart still. Hallelujah. And with great power gave the apostles witnesses of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. I want you to notice what happens under the press and great grace. Neither was there any among them that lacked. There's a form of, now this is a misnomer, there's a form of Christian socialism called liberation theology that is a lie from the pit of hell. They misuse and take out of context the words of Jesus and Scripture, like this one. One small reminder. There wasn't a government arbitrarily removing from one to provide to another. The sluggard was not fed by the forced hand of a central government against those who had worked and prepared. So much so that the Apostle Paul in his epistles warned of that. Said, let him who does not work, let him not eat. That may sound harsh, but Paul was correcting something that became a problem even with the Spirit of God working, all right? So he was correcting something and saying, no, this can't be abused. See, there was a time when there was an anointing and great prayer and great grace, and people spontaneously, out of love and responding to the Spirit of God, no one lacked and everyone shared and shared alike. There could very well come a time like that for us here. Will it last very long? I have no idea. Where's our heart at? I would pray that, I go back to what I was saying that Chad was talking about, that we who are Spirit-filled will not. Proverbs 11 says, he who withholds more than is meat. In other words, well, let me finish it and then you'll know. He that withholds more than is meat tendeth to poverty. You see a need that you can meet without hurting yourself at all, really. I mean, you may not be able to buy that extra large flat screen TV, but these times tend to sort out actual needs, not American concept of need, but human need. And I'm so glad America's so blessed that need has risen to a different level, but it's also that's also our Achilles heel for those who are not guarding their heart, understanding where the blessing comes from and why it's there. God does not mind the blessing getting to you, great blessings. In fact, the scripture speaks of rich who are blessed to be rich to also enrich others. He doesn't mind getting it to you as long as he can get it through you. In fact, what I just said was error. But let me back up and correct error. He doesn't mind? That's a reflection of my old thinking. Lord, forgive me. And congregation, please forgive me. I'm not being sarcastic or trite. I'm being very genuine. He loves. He absolutely loves to get it to you. And in a greater way, when he can get it through you. There, now we got it cleaned up. Isn't it funny how that old stuff just hangs on? Proverbs 11 says, the one that withholds tends to poverty. The way of the kingdom is, given it shall be given. We've all centralized that into the church. It's all about you giving your tithe to the church house. Legalistically, on time, to the penny of the tenth, which is Old Testament, you're limited. Learn to worship and round it off. But I went the wrong direction just now. It shouldn't be for the church house. This thing, it's become centralized in the church house. This is really to be a blessing to one another. Now, it's a blessing to one another when we can have air and heat and lights. That's kind of a nice blessing. The projectors are nice, but we could live without them. We did for a long time. A long time. I mean, the human race, not TVFC. He that withholds more than his meat tends to poverty. But the liberal soul... Are you here this morning? The liberal soul is made fat. The one that waters himself. This is the principle of the kingdom and the temptation to versus trust. This ought to be the time when, more than ever before, we look for opportunities to give and to be a blessing. Don't be a fool. Be led of the Spirit. The time will come when there will be need enough, possibly. I don't know for sure. I just see the direction in which the hair is being combed. You see the picture with me? Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them and bought the prices of things that were sold and laid them down at the apostles' feet. The distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. Do you know that they had to correct that? What a beautiful, spontaneous flow. I mean, these people just laid it all down. But the reality is that correction had to be brought to this balance. Are you here today? How many are ready to sell your homes and give it all away? I thought I would get that response and that look. You better be walking in the Spirit. There's another scripture that says a man that doesn't take care of his own is worse than an infidel. So we got to keep some balance here. You know what I'm saying? But what I do want you to see is where the Spirit of God was moving, people were liberal. Did they go too far? We always do that. We always go too far. And God has to get us back on track. But I'd rather be going too far this way than the other way. Because we see the supernatural things that flowed over a group of people who said, all that I have is yours. And they laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. And Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it and bought and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. I think it's interesting they give that instance there, and then the next chapter switches gears utterly, and a certain man named Ananias and Sapphira. Ananias, with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession. I've heard all my life, God's going to get you. But I want you to notice this, and I've done a full study on this. There's a difference with this because it doesn't say a brother, a Levite, a sister, a man of God. It says a man, a certain man. I think that in times like this, subversives, and I believe it'll happen nationally too, those who come by sleight of cunning to deceive will be exposed. Can you say amen? God won't have to lay them out. Their own evil will lay them out. That's pretty awesome. Persecution, prayer, move of the Holy Ghost, great grace. How many like these ingredients? Spirit of liberality in the time of press. And evil being exposed. I think that's pretty loaded. Would you lift your hands with me today? Lord, thank you. You're doing it again for us. Stay with me, in me, through me, and for me. Thank you that your provision today, say this with me today, thank you that your provision today is not like a pie with only so many pieces to go around. That's the lie of liberalism, people. That's the lie of the left. Ration, conserve, abort, euthanize, save our future. It's not a piece of pie. His provision is a river. There is a river that never will run dry. Wade into the river. It's not a pie. It's a river. He is our supply. One more time. Come on, stand to your feet this morning. Come on, let's drink deep of the river. Come on. And where does the river come from? From out there? Out of his belly will flow. Come on, your provision is not from out there. The Great One lives on the inside of you today. Come on, are you here today? Well, come on, then wake your neighbor up if you're here. Are you here today? Father, we thank you for a river that we can wade into with confidence. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. For his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted right by his source of life. Are you here today? Come on, roots in deep, wading in deep. His leaf will not wither. And whatever he does, I want you to lift up your hands today. Doesn't matter what's going on around. If you'll trust him, look at your hands. Whatever he does, will prosper. Guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it flow all that pertains to life. Father, today we thank you for your work in our hearts and in our midst. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Come on, pray in the Holy Ghost. Sholobokosia. Father, in Jesus' name. We love you and honor you today. We love you. 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 Solo bocosia. Now we love you. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me. I pray in Jesus' name that I've led you. We've led one another to the rock that is higher than I. Amen. He says to jump. Well, let's do it. Come on. Jump with joy. Come on. You can do it. Come on. I can do it up here. Hallelujah. Jump with joy. Come on. What's the matter? Hallelujah. Come on. What's going on, people? Who are you trying to impress? Woo! Come on. Thank you, Lord. He said jump with joy. Can you do that? Come on, jump with joy. Thank you, God. You are our strength. You are our provision. Thank you, Lord. This chair didn't break. Woo! Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, man. You sure wouldn't be accused of being Quakers, but I appreciate the effort. Hallelujah. We love you, Jesus. We magnify you. We bless you. The joy of the Lord is our strength. We give you thanks for who you are. And great grace was upon them all. As you go out of here today, see it over you, around you. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Man, it's so easy for the cowboy to get in me and want to fight. I don't like it. And I go back, you heard that story I told a few weeks ago, where we were heading through the mountains of Guatemala. I'm done. I just finished with this. Heading through the mountains of Guatemala, and we had the gorillas across the road. My dad will tell you the story. All across the road. All armed to the teeth. Watching us as we were heading, they were blocking our way to home at a place where there was a large highway that forked. Newly baptized in the Holy Spirit, my dad, myself, my mother began to pray in the Holy Ghost. And as God is my witness, I saw them do just like this and close back with their backs to us. Remember telling that a few weeks ago? We got to know. Great grace. Come on, are you here today? Great grace is upon us. In Jesus' name. Chad, would you help us up here with prayer? Leanna and John, if you could come up and help us.